Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Grace Nurtured. This is your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for joining us today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Will Bradshaw is minister. On today, our words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Roger Jones. I ask that you so kindly, if you all could please stop whatever it is you are doing, find yourselves a quiet corner, and be prepared to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. I do apologize. There is an oversight on my part. Brother Jones would not be with us on today. However, in his place, we have the Brother Willie Bradshaw that will be presenting for us on today. Brother Bradshaw, you are on the air.
Good morning, everybody, everywhere. Great day in the morning. And, of course, right here in Riverdale, Georgia, it is raining so hard. It is raining so hard. And it looks like it's going to be set in pretty much for the rest of the day. I'm hoping that you're in the dry. And, of course, if you're not and you have to get out and you have to go somewhere, and some people are still going to work in some workplaces, just make sure you got your umbrella and your raincoat on, and make sure you got your galoshes so you can keep your feet dry and everything, and go on and get out there in it. Because still, in spite of all that's going on around about us, this is the day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. And if any way possible, don't let nobody steal your joy today, even though it is a rainy day. When you think about what's going on around about us, what we've done on Sunday morning is we have our programs on the phone and our membership all meet at the same time at 10 o'clock for our worship service and everything. And we've decided to let the social media just have its own way, stick with just what the Bible has to say, because we could spend a lot of time talking about what's going on around about us and who's been involved in this, that, and other. But our marching orders are still there, that we must continue to preach the gospel. This is a prayer call program, and so we need to pray ourselves in out of this whole situation. And so that's what we continue to do. So we're just so thankful for all of those who continue to tune into this program. I ask that you give at least three people this number, because it's just one number that you have to get. And so during the course of this week, send this number to somebody so that they can come on the program and be blessed this early in the morning. And the reason why I said it's just one number, because on Sundays we have to dial in on three numbers. We use WebEx, and WebEx, you have to have three numbers to call in on, but on this particular call here, all you need to call in is just one number. And so our prayers still go out for those who are in the hospital, who are hospice, those who are homebound, those who are caring for those who may be sick and shut in, and especially for all of our parents now who somewhat has been trapped at home, to be with their to be with their children, who really need some daycare services, who some of them have to really go to work, don't have nobody to pick the kids up. It's just a thousand different kinds of things that's going on right now that really, really, really needs the saints' prayers. The one who can get a prayer through past the ceiling of your house, we need for you to pray for all the situations, conditions that exist among us today. Parents are having to deal with their children, and especially try to help them get the lessons when we haven't been in school over 50 years. And the last time we was in school, they had reading, writing, and arithmetic, but they ain't got that no more. And we learned early how to write cursive, and now that's not taught in the schools anymore. And our young people cannot write cursive. They make the block letters. I've seen 18 and 19-year-olds, and some, that's a whole generation. More than that, when you say sign your name, they print the name. They put blocks. They can't write cursive anymore. And of course, that's how most of us got through school, is writing cursive, is because when the teacher sent a letter home to your mama, if you was right-handed, you wrote left-handed so that you could sign your mama's name. I mean, some people did that. I just heard about that. I never was involved in that. But some people just signed their mama's name so they could go place and do things. But anyway, so when we think about the Bible, and this is a Bible program, in the book of Luke, chapter 23, and it's also recorded in the book of Matthew 27:26, about the arrest of Jesus. I want you to read that sometime. I'm not going to read it all to you this morning, but it's a very interesting situation. You get the full account. We know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all wrote something about Jesus. Some of them, John, of course, wrote from a personal standpoint because he had an intimate relationship with Christ, different from some of the other guys. But they all wrote something about Jesus, and so you'll have a different account. So don't be stuck with just reading from the book of Matthew if you see a particular story. Look through the Bible and see if there's an indication that it had been said again by somebody else, by another disciple, and you'll get a whole different view. Some of them had sort of scattered different kinds of things about it, and then some of them had just pinpoint. You couldn't miss the whole thought that's going there. And so our question this morning deals with this idea of Jesus being arrested. Not only was he been arrested and he was involved, but Jesus was involved, Pilate was involved, Herod was involved, Barabbas was involved, the two malefactors, those who was on the right side and left side was involved, the crowd was involved, and one side of the good crowd and the other side was the bad crowd. And then here's the big question. The big question on the table is, why was Barabbas chosen to be swapped out for Jesus? Now, in the United States in 2020, we have had some prisoner swap from one nation to the next or from one country to the next or something of that sort so that we could get some peace or so they could settle down a war or something of that sort. And so we've had some criminals. We've had some criminals in the United States be released back to their home country so that we could get some of our people back over here in this particular country. So this is nothing new. Solomon said it best when he said, "There's nothing new under the sun." It may be new to us because we're a new generation or something of that sort. Just like the our young teenagers and stuff that come along. There are some things that bear repeating. There are some things that bear repetitions. I know sometimes you get tired of talking about it and saying it all the time, but each time a generation comes about, it probably need to be told something. One of the things that I do when I'm teasing some children, I ask them, I say, "Who kin are you?" They look at you like you got four heads or like you cross-eyed or something, because they don't know nothing about no kinfolk. They don't know about that they kinfolk are nieces and nephews and stuff like or whatever. So I say, who you some kin to? They don't know about that word. So it bears repeating. And there are a lot of other phrases and words that we use sometimes that make sense that we need to repeat. So here we got abundance of people involved in this arrest of Jesus. And then, of course, we got Judas, who sold him out for 30 pieces of silver to start out with. But why was Barabbas chosen to be released? And look what the Bible said. The Bible indicates, first of all, he was a prisoner, and that's where he was supposed to be. That he was a murderer, that's what he actually did. They said that he also was a rebel, always stirring up something, and they called him a bandit. So with all of this qualification in prison, murderer, bandit, rebel, and yet he was selected by the crowd, by the people, to be let go instead of Jesus, Christ, the Son of God. Now, in Luke 23, verse number 1, he says, "And a whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate." Now, this is the first place that Jesus went to sort of receive his sentence or whatever it was. But I want to just pick out some passages here and show you what took place in this. When he went to Pilate, they said that Jesus wasn't going to bow down to Caesar, and actually he claimed to be the king of Christ, the king. And so Pilate asked him, in verse number 3, he said, and Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered and said unto him, thou sayest. And then Pilate said to the chief priest, he said, I found no fault in him. Now, you would have thought that this would have been the end of this whole situation, that he could have just walked away, gone on about his business. But it looked like that the crowd pursued this situation and kept pressing them to crucify him or to do something with him. Matter of fact, the top order of the day was to crucify him, not to just do something, because Pilate tried that. Pilate said, well, we'll just give him 4 or 5 licks and then we'll let him go. And they said, no, we don't want that. We want you to crucify him. And since there was some kind of a feast coming up where they allow a prisoner or something to be swapped or let out or something like that, so they said, we want you to let Barabbas go. And, of course, we've already said that he was a murderer, he was a bandit, and he was a rebel. But Pilate had already said in verse number 4, but I found no fault in him. And then in verse number 7, as soon as he heard that they said something about him, about Galilee, being from Galilee, he thought, Herod is in town, so let's ship him over him, because that's Herod's jurisdiction. And seemingly we have that today, where a guy may be caught in Tennessee or somewhere, and that's out of the jurisdiction. And so they'll ship him back to Georgia or whatever, expedite him or what all those kind of things are. But anyway, he said, Herod is in town, so let me just send him over to Herod and see what he say about this thing. Remember now, Jesus is supposed to be a criminal. He's supposed to be a rebel. He's supposed to be a bandit. He's supposed to be somebody who claiming to be fraud and all that kind of stuff. But the Bible says, and this is a trick thing right here, in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 8, he says, and when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad. For he had already heard some things that Jesus had done and was hoping that he could somewhere and somehow show him some kind of miracles of some sort. So if Jesus was so bad and he was on the top 10 most wanted list, why was Herod so excited to see him? Because everybody thought, let's send him over there. He certainly would be crucified or be hung or whatever it was. But the verse number 8 says that when Herod saw him, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired to see him for a long season. It was a long time since he was trying to see Jesus, because he had heard many of the things that he had done and hoped that he could see some miracle done by him. Well, then after Pilate had passed the buck and sent him to Herod, then Herod passed the buck and sent him back to Pilate. In verse number 11, he sent him back to Pilate again because he said he couldn't find no fault in him. As a matter of fact, verse number 14 says, I have found no fault in this just man. Now, they keep repeating this whole thing over. And Herod has sent him. And then here's what Herod said. Pilate said, I found no fault in him. Herod says, I found no fault in this just man. In verse number 15, he says, and then he said, I found no fault into him being worthy of death. Now, here you got at least 3 testimonies. One, I found no fault in him. The other one is, he says, I have found no fault in this man. Then Herod said, I found no fault in him to receive any death. But still, they cried out the loudest, and they wanted Barabbas. And then, after he went back to Pilate in verse number 19 and 20, and Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again these things. He said, and he cried out, saying, they cried out the more, crucify, crucify. And then verse number 22, he said, and he said unto them the third time. Now, I'm glad that he mentioned that, because I know I counted 3 or 4, 5 or 6, 7 times that this statement has been made. But he said unto him, he said in verse number 22, and I said unto him the third time, why, what evil hath he done? I find no cause of death for this man. That's the second time, that's the second or third time that we heard that phrase. I find no fault in him. I find no fault in this just man. He's not worthy of death. And what evil has he done? And they cried the more. They wanted to give them Barabbas, and certainly they did. So how do we stand by and allow? How do we even in 2020 sometimes stand by and let bullies take advantage of people that we know that they're taking advantage of? They're not the people that the bullies take care of is not always weak. They just get in people's way. They get in people's way, and they seem to want to always have their way. It's just something going on in the mind of a bully that needs some attention, because they always seem to want to have their way, and they don't care who they hurt. They don't care who's in the way. They don't care by what means they move you out of the way. But in this passage, I want you to read Luke 23 sometime, and you'll be blessed with that, because then it leads up to Luke chapter 24. And one thing that I like about this passage is, then it says, upon the first day of the week, when they came, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre. And then the verse that I really like is the verse number 5, when it says, and they were afraid, and they bowed down and fell on their face, and they said, why seek ye the living among the dead? Even though Jesus went through all that he went through, arrest and the death, a great day in the morning, he has arisen, and he is now sitting on the right-hand throne of his Father, and he's still ruling over the world, and we still ought to give him the honor, the glory, and the praise. Father, thank you for all of those who have asked for prayers on this prayer call. And we continue to be with us through this inclement day today, even though this is the day that you've made. Jesus loves you. He died for you, and he's coming again, and have a super-duper day. Amen.